When you're looking for a map or a diagram to give you some guidance on how to deal with a process or a situation, you want one that's not too complex and not too simple. If it's too complex, you're overwhelmed with details, don't know where to start, what to focus on. If it's too simple, you miss a lot of things. Things that are actually important sometimes just get ignored. So you can imagine the Buddha making a map of the mind, or the workings of the mind. The challenge he faced, because the mind is very complex. When he formulated the Dependent Core Rising, he focused more on the complexity. There are other teachings that are simpler, but when he wanted to give a full picture, it was Dependent Core Rising. Many people comment how complex it is. Different factors keep reappearing again and again. Feeling appears at least four times. In some formulations, perception appears twice. Sometimes it appears three times. Feeling appears first in fabrications, which comes right after ignorance. Part of metal fabrication. It appears again in name and form. And there it has different company. It's accompanied by perception again, but also by intention, attention, contact. It appears again right after contact at the senses, and then again right after becoming in the suffering of aging, illness, and death. Perception appears again in fabrication and again in name and form. And in some formulations it comes after feeling that follows on contact. Some people said the Buddha didn't understand causality. Is way too sloppy, but actually it's pointing to something very important. If you look at these reappearances as feedback loops, you see the whole system as a non-linear system, one in which the result of the system comes back and feeds back into the system again. Then you can see how helpful this is as a guide to understanding your mind. The different appearances of feelings are different feedback loops. A feeling comes, say, after sensory contact. Well, it doesn't have to go to craving. You can cycle it back through fabrication where you run it past your breath again, you run it past direct thought and evaluation. In other words, you reconsider it. You run it into name and form. You learn how to pay attention to it. What questions are you asking about it? That's a useful way to understand this, because now you can ask new questions. If the original questions were going to lead you to suffering, you can apply appropriate attention, ask questions related to the Four Noble Truths, and all of a sudden that feeling becomes part of a process leading out away from suffering. And again, if this sounds too abstract, remember this is how your mind functions. A pain comes and you can think about it, you can get started to acting on it, then you reconsider. And then you can reconsider again. As the Buddha said, the mind can change directions really quickly. And for many of us, that's a cause of inconsistency in our lives as we switch back and forth, back and forth. But here he's saying you can change directions in a skillful direction quickly. But taking that feeling that comes, say, from sight, sound, smell, taste, tactile sensations, and reconsider it in a way that's helpful. Not all the connections in Dependent Core are arising. The Buddha says you don't have to know the whole lineup. All you have to do is to bring knowledge to one connection, say, between name and form and consciousness, or to feeling and craving, or contact and feeling, in fact, any of the combinations. You bring knowledge to these things, and you can cut through the cycle. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge in terms of the Four Noble Truths. What is knowledge in terms of the Four Noble Truths? That's appropriate attention. So you're looping things back through name and form. we can apply appropriate attention to them. That helps get you out of this system that's leading to suffering. You're looping in past intention at the same time. You can reconsider how you're going to act on it. So that combination of attention and intention, you want appropriate attention and skillful intentions. And that's what you need to apply. That's how you want to process everything in dependent co-arising. So you want to loop things back past those two things. That's precisely what the Buddha does in his approach to teaching. He doesn't start out by describing dependent co-arising to people. In fact, it's only when they're pretty advanced in the path that he starts speaking these terms. He talks about virtue, concentration, and discernment. And in doing so, he's actually getting you to loop things back through name and form, right past attention and intention. So without giving you the terms, or giving you the whole picture, he's getting you started on the right approach, how to use these functions in the mind. With virtue, of course, the emphasis is on intention. He wants you to look carefully when you're doing something. Why are you doing it? One of the first things he taught Dharahula, his son, before you do anything, ask yourself, why am I doing it? And the way the precepts are formulated, you can break them only if you act intentionally. So we're not going to be looking at unintentional actions. We're going to be looking at intentional ones and getting clearer and clearer about what our intentions are. Because that is, for a lot of people, a very dark and mysterious region. Same with concentration. You're maintaining one intention. You're keeping your intention to stay with the breath. And in doing so, you start seeing other intentions that you might have missed before come up and bump into the original intention, try to knock it off course. But you're trying to maintain that skillful intention. And as you get the mind into concentration, you're dealing directly with things like the breath, directed thought and evaluation, your perceptions, the images you have about where the mind is in the body, how the breath is running in the body, how you can keep them together. You're actually getting more and more direct experience with these factors of dependent co-arising. And then with discernment, you're dealing directly, as I said, with appropriate attention, that factor in name, asking the right questions. What are you doing that's causing unnecessary stress and suffering? How can you stop? Where is the craving? Do you want to go for the craving? Ordinarily, we want to go for all our cravings, otherwise they wouldn't be cravings. But here the Buddha is having you step back from them. This is why the second noble truth is a noble truth. Some people say, what's noble about craving? Well, the craving itself is not noble, but the fact that you see this is a cause of suffering. That's noble. It pulls you back from your impulse to just follow whatever craving follows on a feeling. So you're applying appropriate attention to pull yourself away. It's in this way that you cycle things through that loop that goes past name and form in a skillful way, sometimes without even thinking about dependent co-arising at all, thinking only in terms of virtue, concentration, discernment. That's the Buddha's approach. He focuses you on this loop because he sees it as the most useful one for taking things apart. So even though he will lay out the complexity, it's not just to impress people, it's to let people know, okay, this is the way your mind runs. But you can focus on certain factors in it within that complexity. The complexity actually allows you the way out. Because if mind was just like a circle, and some people actually portray dependent arising as a circle, you go from ignorance to suffering, and then from suffering back to ignorance, again around and around. How would you get out? You're in the cycle. There'd be no end. But here the Buddha is saying you have this non-linear system. Of course, he doesn't call it that. But you've got this very complex system. And one of the natures of nonlinear systems is you can make them fall apart from within. You don't have to approach them from outside. You use the factors, you use the connections within, and you can take the system apart, make it fall apart. Because when you're cutting through, where are you coming from as you cut through the process? You're coming from within the process. You're simply learning how to direct it in a way that allows it to fall apart. Because that falling apart is not something to be afraid of. That's what it says. When these processes end, that opens the possibility of the deathless. So here the Buddha is laying things out in their complexity to show you why that approach works. And then focuses you on the loop of getting things past appropriate attention and skillful intentions. Whatever comes up, loop it through those two factors, attention and intention, in their skillful forms. And that's how the end of suffering is found.